My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the vibes are so good. The vibes were great last night at Golden 1 Center. They've carried over into today. I imagine they will carry over into Thursday. At some point, we got to get to Friday, but we'll get there when we get there. The Kings throttled the Golden State Warriors last night, 118-94. And James Hamm, I don't ever want to tell an athlete they don't know what they're talking about.
Okay.
I never, ever want to do that. But De'Aaron Fox said that the win over Milwaukee was the Kings' most complete performance of the year, the one at home.
Okay.
I thought last night was their most complete performance of the year and their most dominant performance of the year. That Milwaukee game, they missed a ton of open threes. It's like, yeah, okay, they're fine. I think Milwaukee was a little sloppy. The Kings just dominated last night, flat out, top to bottom, were the better team for all 48 minutes.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, I think De'Aaron was like in the moment, right?
Yeah.
And he hadn't even had time to process. Shout out to little Mr. Rain, who was like, he won the night, you know, on his TNT interview with his, like what you talk about Willis look that he gives, which was spectacular. But, De'Aaron went from one interview to the next, holding his baby, handing it off, gets into the press room, and then, you know, like, we start throwing questions at him.
Yeah.
I thought Fox was really good. I think it's really difficult to, in that situation, to be respectful and to not, you know, say, like, what probably should have been, like, what could have been said was just, we were the better team, and, and we showed up and we beat them.
Sure.
But at the same time, I also think we hadn't seen a Kings team that aggressive defensively.
They were so good. I was blown away.
Yeah, like four of the five starters had two steals or more.
And what they were doing that I thought was really impressive was the way when, whether it was Andrew Wiggins or Steph Curry or whoever, would go around the screen and the Kings would go over the screen. Instead of trying to fight over the screen and stay in front of the ball handler, they were just going over and poking the ball out from behind.
Spectacular.
They did that probably five or six times.
Yeah, the clean pick he had on Wiggins, where he just like reached in, grabbed the ball, and went down for a hammer.
Yeah.
Just it was, like, yeah.
I I had questions about, and we talked about this yesterday. These are ostensibly the same team. And I think if they played a seven-game series, it probably goes 6 or 7 again.
Oh, yeah, but, I think so, too.
But in a one-game setting like last night, where the lights weren't too bright now, it wasn't, oh, man, the game five of last year's playoffs in Golden 1, where the Warriors won that one.
Okay.
Down the stretch, it was a back-and-forth game, but down the stretch, it was like, man, the Warriors are just making plays and the Kings are not. And last night, every single time Golden State would make some kind of push or get a big bucket where, hey, it was 11, hey, there's a big bucket to cut it to 9, Kings answered with a 3. Or maybe the Kings didn't get a bucket, but hey, you know what? It's at 9, now they get a stop, and now they go get that bucket to extend it back to 11 or 12. Like I said, I had my biggest question with the Kings going into last night was, can you maintain this defensive intensity in this level of game in a win-or-go-home matchup? Can you do what you've basically been doing the entire second half against a team with that championship medal that has been there before, that knocked you out of the postseason last year? And they did it, man. They played what I thought was their best game of the year. And I like, you know, we do good, bad, and ugly sometimes.
Yep.
I had no bad and ugly. It was that thorough. It was that dominant for me.
I can only think of, like, there was one other game.
No, don't do that.
This season.
Don't. Oh, okay, go ahead.
No, yeah.
Okay, I thought you were going to disagree with me. Boy, that was...
No, there was only,
sad.
Like, one other game this season where the good, the bad, and the ugly, we did the good, the better, the...
The best.
The best.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean... And
I can't even remember what game that was.
Yeah, I can't remember either. But there was... You couldn't complain about anything. And I thought from, like... Again, Mike Brown went to an 8-man rotation, and I don't even know if it was a true 8-man rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he tightened this thing up, and I thought he got contributions from everybody. I thought Alex Len made the huge mistake in the second quarter that helped draw Golden State close.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he had the bad foul on the 3-point shot, and then he also got called for the flagrant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one moment where you're like, okay, how are they going to respond? Because, again, Sabonis had picked up a third foul. Mm-hmm. And you're worried that maybe Sabonis was...
A fourth at that point, right?
No, it was a third in the first half. Yeah,
he picked
up a fourth in the third quarter. And then Mike stuck with him.
Yeah.
I thought the physicality of the game was a different type of physicality. One team was playing with force, and the other team just was a step slow. And again, I was surprised how well the Kings responded, how well... A player like Keon Ellis, who's never been there at all.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about a kid who was on a two-way contract until midseason.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's your starting shooting guard, and he goes for 15 points with 5 assists, four rebounds, 3 blocks, 3 mm-hmm. steals.
Yeah.
Like, just absolutely incredible. And just the way that every single player seemed to impact the game in some way. Mm-hmm. Harrison Barnes did not look good for, like, a long stretch.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to go at Moses Moody a couple of times. Yeah, and then... And it didn't work out. He threw some crazy, like, flip shots. And then all of a sudden, boom, boom, boom. Like, he just started to roll. The Keegan Murray thing, just like...
Fantastic.
Like, a star is born.
That was the biggest takeaway for me last night.
Yeah.
De'Aaron Fox was great on both ends. Keon Ellis was phenomenal, particularly defensively. Sabonis had a fine game. But Keegan Murray coming out and... I was sitting there and going, man, 5 of 10 from the field in the first quarter, and he had 11 first quarter points.
Yep.
And you're going, okay, this is great, but this can't be a game where he ends with 14 shots, which we've seen before.
Yeah.
And, man, he stayed aggressive. He hit every single big shot that came to him with a chance to extend the lead. He was aggressive getting downhill, getting in the paint. Man, hats off, dude. That was the game I've been asking for from Keegan Murray all freaking year.
Yep.
Now you got to do it again.
Yeah.
But they needed Keegan Murray last night. If Keegan Murray has a 50% worse game, that game is hanging in the balance.
No, I totally agree. And I think Keegan had 14 in the first quarter, but he also took like 10 shots.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, hey, look at that.
14 points in the first quarter.
Yeah. And then he kind of went quiet, and you're like, okay, is he going to disappear? And then he just kept plugging. 8 of 13 from 3.
Yep.
And 9 rebounds. I mean, like, look, I think that in a game of this magnitude, you're hoping that everyone steps up and plays their role.
Yeah.
I'll even, like, shout out to Davion Mitchell, who he completely took Chris Paul out of the game.
Yep.
Like, Chris Non-pack. Paul, I mean, people need to remember earlier in the season, the game where Chris Paul had, like, 9 assists in the first half against the Kings. Mm. He was just dealing. And in this one, nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that there were strong matchups. And then, you know, the center position, I know a lot of fans were, oh, you know, Domas just hasn't brought it. And it's like, are you kidding me? First of all, they tried every look they had mm-hmm. to throw at Domas and try to mix things up.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he responded well.
Yeah. Yeah. He was no complaints last night.
Yeah.
Maybe knocked down a jump shot, but at least he took them.
He took some
jumpers, had a 3 rattle out. The big deal, the other big deal to me last night, and we talked about this a lot yesterday, was what the Kings could do differently now defensively against Steph Curry that they could not do last year.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest difficulties of guarding Steph Curry, not that I've done it, but you hear people talk about it, is the fact that he is like one of the most well-conditioned athletes in the league, where when he is off the ball, he is watch just him next time the Warriors play.
Yeah.
He never stops moving. And part of the reason that he is so good in third and fourth quarters is because, man, defenders running around to them all game are worn down. And all of a sudden, they can't stay in front of him. Now they can't stay in front of the step back. But the Kings had Keegan Murray, who played a ton on Steph early in the game. They put De'Aaron Fox on him at times. And then in the second half, it was a ton of Keon Ellis, who has fresh legs and who's already a really, really good defender. But that's how, if you're going to ostensibly take Steph Curry out of a game, that's how you have to do it, with length, with multiple bodies, and they were all excellent. They all did an awesome job taking out Steph Curry. And when you do that, you kind of see it's Jonathan Kuminga, and then
who else?
What are you getting from Andrew Wiggins?
Yeah,
Clay's going 0-for-10. It just, man.
Yeah, I also thought early in the game there was a moment where Steph started doing his like crazy dribbling mm-hmm. way out from like around 30, 35 feet. And Keon Ellis is down in the stance. Mm-hmm. And he just keeps like setting him up. And you're waiting for Steph to like pull up and drop from 35.
Mm-hmm.
Keon just reached in, took the ball, and went in for a bucket.
Yeah.
And you're like, holy cow.
Yeah.
Like, he's here for the moment.
Yeah.
Like Keon was there for the, like, not like, can you survive the moment? It's like, mm-hmm. oh, no, this is my moment right here. I'm here.
Yeah.
And I think the ability to be present is something Mike talked about, like kind of building up to this. Like, mm-hmm. can you be present in a one game? Like, this is one or done. Yep. Who's going to show up? Who's going to be present? Who's going to like really, really mm-hmm. be like ready for whatever happens? And I thought, again, like Keon, like so many of them, but for a kid who's never been there, yeah, huge.
You wouldn't have known it.
Never.
you would have had no idea. There was another thing. You were mentioning Davion. This play just popped out to me. His development as a point guard, where the pace is not nearly as frenetic as it used to be for him, mm-hmm. where it doesn't feel like the game is too fast. He had that moment last night where he drove in, dribbled out towards the baseline, hung out there for a second, and then eventually drove baseline and got a bucket after taking down like the entire shot clock. Like, that's something we would not have seen from him 3 months ago.
Oh no.
And it wasn't like a huge play in the game or something, but when it comes to Davion Mitchell playing as well as he did defensively on Chris Paul, like you mentioned, it's like, that's why he can stay on the court. Because he has improved that much defensively, or excuse me, offensively. And when you have Davion Mitchell playing like that, you have Keon Ellis, you have Keegan Murray, you have De'Aaron Fox, those are 4 legitimate, bona fide NBA defenders.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw it last night. They just kind of put the Warriors in a stranglehold, and it was ballgame.
Yeah.
They could have been...
Shocking.
They were so good offensively yesterday, and they didn't need to be. They could have been 35% worse offensively and still won that game.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So, all right, let's dive in a little deeper with James Hamm's 6 quick thoughts. That's coming up next. We will talk about the Lakers' 110-104 win over the Pelicans as well. And we have a lifetime ban in the NBA. We'll touch on that. All of coming up on the Insider, sponsored. Oh, and we're giving away $500 again today.
Oh, yeah.
We got so much going on the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. The vibes are great. Hang out with us on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
We're doing a radio show.
Are we, Kyle?
I think so. We're trying to. Before we get to six quick thoughts, I want to remind everybody that tonight, we got some play-in action. Hawks-Bulls right here on ESPN 1320. Coverage begins at 6 o'clock. I need Trae Young.
I heard you're a Trae Young fan
I'm a
tonight.
Big Trae Young guy tonight. I got Prize Picks riding on it. I know nobody cares, but I need Trae Young to play well, so I'm going to be tapped in right here on ESPN 1320.
Okay.
Also want to remind everybody that we are giving away $500 today. We will announce yesterday's winner in a bit. We'll also give you today's code word, so you can go to ESPN1320.com and you can enter that code word to win 500 smackaroos. And want to remind everybody that D'Lo and KC having a watch party.
Oh.
Friday. Sky River Casino. They'll be out there doing their show. And then we're hanging out to watch some basketball.
Okay.
So get tapped in. You're not going to New Orleans, right?
No, I don't think I'm going to New Orleans because I'd have to leave on Thursday. It like the travel there is really, not only is it difficult to get there, but it's super expensive right now.
Sure. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
It's so late.
Yeah. That makes sense. So Sky River Casino, King's Watch Party, immediately following D'Lo and Casey's show on Friday. Hope to see you all out there. All right, let's get to James Hamm's six quick thoughts.
How'd yesterday's Kings game go?
Good as it
could. Kings insider James Hamm has six notes you need to know. Here are James Hamm's six quick thoughts.
Six quick thoughts could be sponsored by you. Hit us up if you would like to sponsor this segment. Hopefully we have several more of them coming up this season. James Hamm, six quick thoughts. Number one.
Keegan arrives.
Yeah, he did.
Keegan Murray is quiet, but he let his game do the talking for him against Golden State. He was incredible, man. 14 points in the first quarter on his way to 32, 9 rebounds, 8 three-pointers.
Yeah.
Every time you needed a dagger, Keegan hit it. Yep. Anytime they drew close, Keegan separated. Just absolutely tremendous moment. And I thought he was really good in postgame. Sort of like understanding the moment, like, hey, yeah, this is what they've been telling me to do the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just be that guy. And for one of the few times you saw him, like, rise up and just be that guy.
Yeah, the making the shots is obviously the goal. So that's an analytics tip for you.
Yeah,
making shots is the goal. No, but it's the fact that De'Aaron Fox, 25 field goal attempts, Keegan Murray, 20.
Oh, yeah.
The Kings had 39 three-point attempts. Keegan Murray had a third of them with 13. This is what, when you envision the maximized version of this Kings roster next year, in 2 years, in 3 years, this is the version of Keegan Murray that they need to get night in and night out. And it's not that he's going to shoot 50, 61, 1,000 every night.
Yeah.
But but the aggressiveness and that assertiveness of knowing that, like, dude, this team doesn't have a plan to guard me. I am going to take over this game.
I thought the crazy thing to me was again, we talk about this with Davion, the lack of hesitation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as soon as he got the ball, you're like, oh, look at that. He's hunting.
Yes.
Like, I need to see him hunt.
Yes.
Like, go get the shots. And again, you talked about the shot distribution. It's perfect. 20 for Keegan, 25 for Fox, 14 for Sabonis, 11 for Harrison Barnes, Keon Ellis, 8. Like, that, all of this
is super efficient.
It is, all of it is what you're you're hoping for.
Yep. Number two.
Two-way star. De'Aaron Fox turned up his offense, but he also bounced his scoring with some outstanding defense. Look, Fox is, you know, we always call him the head of the snake, whatever you want to call him. 24 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 steals. His defense was so next level. It wasn't just the steals. It was the deflections.
Mm-hmm.
It was the way that he was always right in somebody's face.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he can find that intensity, he can be one of the best two-way guards in the NBA.
Yeah, I think he's already up there.
Yeah, he's close.
I mean, he's trending that direction for sure, and it's picking his spots too, because you can get in some trouble if Chris Duarte on line one. You can get in some trouble if you were just hyper-aggressive on the ball in a guy's jersey all the time.
Yeah.
But picking spots, knowing like, hey, you know what? We've gone on a little run here. We've stretched this lead to seven. I'm going to go pick somebody's pocket and go make it nine with an easy basket. Just understanding the moment defensively, De'Aaron is quite a player, man. Number three,
we've got Kean Ellis.
Yeah, we do.
You know,
hell yeah, we do.
He has quietly staked his claim to the starting job. And
Is it that quiet? Maybe not.
But I think what happened, you know, he's Wally Pipping Kevin Huerter. Like, Kevin Huerter, like, stepped away, and all of a sudden Kean Ellis is not just, like, living up to the standard. He's showing you that what his style of player can mean to this team. And that is a big-time problem for a guy like Kevin Huerter. Like, Kevin Huerter cannot be Kean Ellis. And all of a sudden, Kean Ellis is showing that he might be able to be Kevin Huerter and Kean Ellis.
So, this is not a can of worms I want to open all the way right now.
Yeah?
I'm simply addressing the can of worms. We're not opening it. It's just there. We talked a while back about fits for the Kings.
Yep.
And we said, and I think you and I agreed on this, Kevin Herter's a better player than Kean Ellis, but Kean Ellis is a better fit for the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure about that anymore.
I'm not so sure either.
I'm not so sure that Kevin Huerter is a better player than Kean Ellis. And like I said, I don't want to open that can of worms right now. We'll talk about Kevin Huerter plenty this offseason.
Yes.
He's, of course, hurt right now, so we'll talk about what his role looks like moving forward. But this is not an anti-Kevin Huerter thing. This is Kean Ellis has just shown that he's been way better very quickly than I thought he would be at this point.
Well, that and way better for this team. And Kyle, in this game specifically, he hit the pocket pass. Yep. He flung a ball cross court to Trey Lyles for an open three.
Yeah.
Like, his activity, when he took them off the dribble, one time he got called for a travel, didn't buy it. But another time, like the layups and the key and stuff, it was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Like, he has so much more game. We're just seeing like the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
And everything you've seen so far, you're like, they found something.
Yeah.
They did. They found a diamond in the rough. And that's what great teams have to do. That's how you become great.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Warriors not just drafting Steph and Clay. Mm-hmm. It's finding Draymond in the second round.
Yeah.
And we're not going to compare him right now to who Draymond is, but you have to find these players that matter, that are cheap, and that you just find them.
Mm-hmm.
And kudos to whoever's idea it was to bring on Kean Ellis.
Yeah, man. He was phenomenal last night. Number four.
Where are we? Domantas Sabonis. He didn't exactly crush the competition, but he was impactful.
Yeah.
16 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, and a block. He struggled with foul trouble, but I also would say, like, he was everything they needed in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, could he have been bigger? Yeah. But also, when he started to feel like the matchup was bad with Draymond Green, he didn't force it.
Yeah.
Could he have hit the jump shot? Yeah, but he also took the jumper.
Yeah.
And so those are things that matter.
Yeah.
And so I definitely thought he had a good game. It wasn't a great game, but it was a really good game and a must win.
Yeah, he didn't jump off the page, but he also wasn't a non-factor. Made a couple of really nice passes out of the paint, too. For open three. Okay, yeah. 10 of 18 on sprays last night. Didn't get to that 20 number.
Oh, they didn't need to, Kyle.
No, they sure didn't. Number five.
Came into play. Harrison Barnes, just like midway through the game, him and Andrew Wiggins both had 8 points, 3 assists, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like they were just going to go even Steven. And that's what I had written initially, even Steven.
Yeah.
Then he muscled up.
Yeah, he just...
Like, he helped put the game away.
He hit for me. In fact, you know what? We can talk about this later, but he hit the dagger.
Yeah.
With the 6:09 left. That was the, like, okay, this is, even out of the reach of a Kings collapse, this is done. Yeah, man. Psyched for Harrison Barnes. He had 39 in the last game against Golden State.
Yeah.
Overcame a bad start in this one to put together a good game.
17 points. He helped put the game away.
Got to the free throw line. Made a couple of tough shots. Love it.
Yep.
Number six.
End of the line? Question mark. The Kings put a stranglehold on the two, the greatest shooting backcourt of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say it, this is the greatest shooting backcourt of all time. It's one of the great backcourts in NBA history.
Yeah.
The Kings just shut them down. I mean, the fact that Steph Curry could only take 16 shots and the fact that Klay Thompson went 0 for 10, some of that's on Klay, but some of that's on the Kings as well. The Kings were just spectacular defensively.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, you know, you can talk about, oh, the Warriors are old and this and that, and they are, like, just in basketball years, objectively, they're old. But that was not, to me last night, that was not just a, oh, they just don't have it anymore. Like, Klay shot 41% from three in the second half of the year.
Yeah.
He had been really good in the four or five games leading up to the play-in. He'd been really, really good. Did he miss a couple open shots? For sure, but that happens sometimes. The Kings made sure that he was not consistently open, and I just, yeah, I got, they were great.
Yeah.
As for the end of the line, yeah, it probably is.
Probably is.
I don't know.
We'll see.
I don't know. I don't know if, I don't know if the Magic, if they were going to pay Klay $25 million a year watching his last couple of playoff runs going. This is Klay Thompson's stat for you. In the Warriors' last two elimination games, game six last year against the Lakers and this one, 3 for 29 from the field, 2 of 18 from three.
Whew.
Yikes.
So, yikes.
But still, like, played 77 games this year after tearing his ACL and Achilles in consecutive years.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive, but really, really got awful last night. All right. Let's you know what? Let's continue talking about this. How much does just kind of exercising this Warriors demon matter for the Kings? And then was that the last game for Steph, Klay, and Draymond? Are the Kings going to go down as the team that that finally put that last nail in the coffin? We'll talk about it next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey
football fans. You want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Hey, controversy. Controversy in the chatty house. If you're not familiar, in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320 or twitch.tv/ESPN1320, whoever gets in the chat first every morning gets the quote-unquote belt. At some point, when I'm making more money, if I'm ever making more money, my plan is to get like a little certificate or something put together for somebody who wins like the most belts in a week or in a month or something. But anyways, sometimes when James and I log in, the chat doesn't load all the way, so we can't see who is in here first. So, like, I had Manny, Serial Connection.
Yep.
You had Russell Hunt. And now I'm being told in the chat that it was Katrina.
Well, I think the way that we'll have to play this is, like, we need a time. What time did you have the belt, Katrina? That's the question. Because I can see what time Russell made his first comment. So, once we get that, then I can determine who was first, I think. So, I don't know.
Right, we'll get that sorted out.
I'm here for the controversy.
Kings, 118, Warriors, 94, Sacramento moving on to face the New Orleans Pelicans in New Orleans after the Lakers beat them 110-104 last night. Still awaiting news about the Zion Williamson hamstring injury. I have not seen anything yet.
No.
But he had 40 last night.
Well, that and the Alvarado situation. He rolled his ankle late, and he kept playing, but there's no telling what that thing's going to look like the next day.
Adrenaline. The Zion injury, so we'll dive into this over the next few days, but the Zion thing, it may wind up benefiting the Kings if he's not available and doesn't play. It makes the Pelicans at least a little bit easier to deal with.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if he's healthy last night, they might win that game. The Lakers had nothing for him, dude. He was ridiculous.
Well, if he's not 100%, which, I mean, throughout his career, this is a problem. This is a problem with the Pelicans. I feel bad for them, but this is always going to be, this is who they are until it's not. Like, they are always hurt. Always. And anytime it's a big game, you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. How are they going to play in a seven-game series? And they've stayed healthy, reasonably healthy throughout most of the season, but then Ingram got dinged up near the end. And like, this is who they have been, and it's very frustrating, but you cannot count on them when it matters. And the Kings are hoping, like, they're not like, hey, we want to play them full strength. No, no. You want to play, the Kings aren't full strength. They don't need to play anyone else full strength. They're not going to feel bad.
Let me tell you something. As somebody who watched Golden State win the title in 2015, and everybody said, well, the Cavs didn't have Kevin Love or Kyrie Irving. The banner still hangs. So I don't care how the Kings do it.
Oh,
I don't
care
how they get there.
And we're talking about
one
game.
I don't care
if
they have to play G League teams en route to a title. If they get there, it counts, bro.
I'm with you.
Banner hangs.
Yep.
So, anyways, so we will keep an eye on that Zion Williamson injury, the Jose Alvarado stuff. The Kings got through last night healthy. I'm guessing no Malik Monk on Friday. I'd be shocked.
I think Malik spoke yesterday, like during our show, because he was at shoot around, and I believe he said he hasn't started running yet. So until he starts running, that's when he would be able to start tell you like where he's at, like how close he is to a return. It's not gonna be anytime soon.
Yeah. So, that's something, like I said, we'll dive into kind of throughout the week. But the matter at hand right now, the Kings get a big time win over the Warriors last night. So Mike Brown, and I believe Mike Brown when he says this, he said after the game that the fact that it was the Warriors doesn't matter. I wanted to kick Steve Kerr's ass. He wanted to kick my ass. And, you know, got love for those guys, but we're trying to win basketball games. I don't care who's on the other side. We want to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that. Like, I genuinely do. I don't think that Mike Brown relishes the win more. Like, he's already looking ahead to New Orleans. So I don't think he relishes the win. He probably started working on New Orleans last night.
Yeah.
But I don't think he relishes it more because of it. But I think there's something to it for the Kings. I think there's something that matters here for the Kings. Where, okay, we look at this season and we go, okay, they won two fewer games. You have some injury issues for sure, but it's also very clear that, hey, this roster probably going to need to look pretty significantly different to, at least on the margins, to win a title. And that's just all kind of come to the fore this year. If this season ended at home to the Warriors again, I think there's a damage. It's the same reason we're not talking football right now, and we'll get to this in July or August or September or whatever. But it's the same reason I'm kind of worried about the 49ers this year. It's like, man, you just lost a heartbreaker to Patrick Mahomes again.
Yep.
And I think there would have been still that, okay, yeah, you beat him twice in the regular season, but there would still be that psychological hurdle to clear. And that, hey, you know what? Maybe they're checking all these boxes, but hey, that Warriors one isn't checked. I think checking that box, getting Golden State clear, and asserting the Kings as the, in this race of NorCal teams, if that's what it is, it's not, but in our, for this discussion, it is, the Kings asserted themselves as the better team right now. And I think that going into next year, I think that's a really, really big deal, whether they acknowledge it or not.
No, I think the one person who always acknowledges it is Davion.
Mm.
Davion was like, yeah, this means more. No, it does. Like, this
hell
is,
yeah.
Like, no, like, we Hon- need...
Honesty
we need,
from athletes is the
yeah,
best.
Like, we need to get past these guys. Yeah, like, it does feel good to send them home. It yeah. does. And, like, whether it's the end of the dynasty or not, I think that was a question Fox
wow,
answered.
Zion's out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, sorry to interrupt you, but...
No.
Chatty House is blowing up. Adrian Wojnarowski, Zion Williamson's left hamstring. He is out for Friday's play-in tournament elimination game versus Sacramento and will be reevaluated again in coming weeks.
Yeah.
Oof. That's so brutal, dude.
Wow.
That, like I said, we'll talk about the ramifications of that for the Kings for sure here in a second, but I feel so bad for Zion, man. He plays a career high in games played this year. He's gotten in shape this year. Like, he just, throughout the season, he's gotten in shape. He plays all these games. He has a 40-point game going in the play, and he certainly would have finished the game with more. And now he's out.
That's wild.
Brutal, dude.
That's wild. Now, that doesn't mean the Kings are just going
to
win.
No. The Kings have a very, very steep hill to climb still.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if anyone watched that game, but Trey Murphy was spectacular, and he's beat up the Kings. Herb Jones was really just awesome.
CJ McCollum is more than capable of...
He's a Kings killer.
...of lighting it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like I said, don't get this twisted. This is not, oh, wow, hey, look, the Kings are going to the playoffs now because the Pelicans don't have Zion. But... In the list of things that we have to talk about, in terms of, hey, the Kings got to figure out how to deal with this. The Kings got to figure out how to deal with that.
Yeah.
Because we talked about it a little bit yesterday. A guy like Jonathan Kuminga on the Warriors, that's just a player that when he's rolling, the Kings don't really have an answer. And you saw it for a couple of stretches in that game.
Yeah.
But Zion's different. Zion is just a load that not a lot of teams do have. The Lakers have an all-NBA defender in Anthony Davis, a guy that some people consider a defensive player of the year this year. And they had nothing for Zion. Like, that's a big deal that he's out.
Yeah, it's a huge deal. So basically what Zion does is he tilts the entire court.
Yes.
And what that means is that wherever he's at, you have to have two guys ready to step up and wall him off. And that leaves Jonas Valanciunas, or it leaves... CJ McCollum,
yep,
a little bit of space. It leaves a guy like Herb Jones or Trey Murphy a little bit of space. And really, when Brandon Ingram's healthy, it leaves Brandon Ingram as that player as well that can totally exploit you. And then he takes his turn. And when he takes his turn, it's devastating.
Yep.
Like, you pick up fouls. It, not only that, but he's such a big dude that in when you're going to go for rebounds, if they have him and Valanciunas together, it just like makes this giant wall of people. And it's really difficult for Sabonis to get inside. Now we're going to see Sabonis man up against Valanciunas. Again, they're super close friends. Mm-hmm. They play on the Lithuanian national team together. You're going to get to see like a true one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And then who else steps up? Like, what is this going to look like? This is a big deal. It's a big deal.
On November 20th, the Kings and Pelicans played at Smoothie King's Center. No Zion Williamson in that game, and the Pelicans won 129-93.
Yeah, they kicked the... Yeah. 36? Yeah.
I know Zion did play in that game. Where's the one he didn't play? Where was I at?
Oh.
Wait, where did it... Oh my God, I'm losing my mind.
There is one game he didn't play against the Kings. I could have
sworn.
Yeah,
I just had it.
Oh, now
maybe
it's
wasn't. Oh, there it was. Okay, I've got to know. 133-100 on January 7th at Golden 1.
Oh, that's better.
That was the game.
Not 36, oh, only 33.
It was 33 and at home. B.I. in that one, 15 points. C.J. McCollum, 30 on 7 of 10 from 3. It's Trey Murphy, 11.
Herb Jones busting you up.
Herb Jones, 9 points.
Oh, that's it? Yeah. He had a 20-point piece, a 20-point game, I think 23 against the Kings.
Team high plus 34 in that game, though.
Yeah, man, Herb Jones. And you know Herb Jones...
They're still really good.
Herb Jones and Keon Ellis played together, right, at Alabama.
Yeah. Yeah. De'Aaron talking about that last night was really funny.
Yeah, yeah. Could you imagine playing against those two?
No.
No.
Not at all.
Well, and the crazy thing is, look, I think just to get to the Keon point, we've been... like saying this forever, like, man, if you could just find a guy like Herb Jones, you may have found that you're Herb Jones. You may have found him. Like, what in the world? How did you find a Herb Jones?
I'll go find another one, maybe two.
And but Keon Ellis is such a cooler name than Herb Jones.
1,000%.
Yeah.
And I rock with Herb Jones, though.
Oh, yeah.
His whole, the clip from last year where Draymond's getting in his face and talking a bunch of trash, and then Draymond gets subbed out, and while he's talking trash, Herb Jones is like points to the bench, and is like, "Hey, I think you gotta go.
It's time for you to go.
You gotta just the demeanor and not getting into. I rock with Herb.
You don't have to leave, but you can't stay here.
Yeah, he's a good player. All right. Anyways, continuing this Kings Warriors discussion, you were mentioning that Davion Mitchell doesn't hide from the fact that this is way different than beating Dallas or Phoenix or pick a team in the play-in.
Yeah, he gets a smirk on his face. He's like, this is a team that ended us last year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that team last year, they thought they were going somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what they were looking at was the Lakers were in front of them, and they had, like, bombarded the Lakers. Yep. They had 3-1. Won 3-1, and they had confidence, and they're like, hey, how far can we go?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then they couldn't get past the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And then at this point, like, look, I think it is kind of, it's refreshing to see like a team that, you know, two teams that are so close geographically.
Yeah, yeah.
One that like really took advantage of the fact that another team had a 16-year playoff drought, mm-hmm. and they went out and won 4 titles, mm-hmm. stole a bunch of their fan base,
mm-hmm.
like a bunch of kids walking around Sacramento and the surrounding area. They now are walking around wearing Steph Curry jerseys and not De'Aaron Fox jerseys.
Yeah.
And now you have this moment where maybe you can steal back some of these people. Maybe you can steal back some of the young crowd that has been so in love with the Warriors' run.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is a big deal. And not only that, but like it feels like this is the end. And, you know, Mike Brown was asked about it in postgame.
I loved his answer so much.
Mike Brown's like, yeah, I don't care, man.
Yeah, couldn't care less.
I could care less. Like, I put out the quote and people are like, oh, shade. No, it was like he was saying, no, look, I don't need to worry about that. That's their problem.
Yeah.
It's not a me problem. For me right now, I've got to worry as Mike Brown about what happens on Friday.
Yeah.
You know, like
I got to make sure that our season isn't done in 3 days.
Yeah. I mean, I've told you this story before. Like we were playing a softball game and we're beating this team and we get to the end and They had this incredible player, but as we're doing high fives, we go to walk off. The guy's like, I can't believe we lost to those bloops. And I yelled out to him, yeah, that's twice the season you lost to us.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, I'll meet you in the parking lot. I said, no, you won't. I got another game because we didn't just get eliminated from the playoffs.
Got him.
And so that's what I think Mike Brown like inadvertently did mm-hmm. was exactly that.
Sure.
But that's not what his intent was. His intent was like, no, man, like, got so much more worry about.
And, dude, like, if you want an introspective thought from Mike Brown on Steve Kerr, who he coached with and won championships
loves
with,
him.
Look at their embrace after the game.
Yeah.
That wasn't a dap hug, good job. That was like a long, like, friends hugging it out.
Yes.
If you want an introspective answer from Mike Brown on that, and you'll get one. You'll get one about Steve Kerr. He coached Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green, and Steph Curry. Like, that's something that, hey, maybe at some point in the offseason, tap in with Mike Brown where he can actually like sit and think about it. He could. I think he was dead honest last night when he was like, yeah, I don't care.
Yep.
I think he, deep down as a person, as a human, he cares, but he's basketball coach last night. He's just coming off a win. He's already thinking about New Orleans, who they've lost to 5 times this year, by the way.
Five times. Can you lose to a team 6 times in a season, Kyle?
Hard to beat a team 6 times in a season. It's always in the NFL when a team goes 2-0 against somebody in their division.
Oh, can you beat them 3 times?
Oh, it's hard to beat. Oh, I can't wait for that to be a bit.
Hey,
tough to beat a team 6 times. Yeah, man. So a couple things. One, I love Mike Brown's answer.
Yeah.
That is the as a basketball coach, the correct thing to say in that spot. Two, don't get it twisted. Just to reiterate this, when the story gets written, if Klay Thompson signs elsewhere, and this is just kind of the end, when the story of this Warriors dynasty gets written, Mike Brown will be part of it. Mike Brown has a role in that.
Oh yeah,
and he will have thoughts on it. But yeah, anyways, last night he did not, and I don't blame him. But I thought De'Aaron gave a really good answer when he got asked about it, and I think it just kind of hits the nail on the head because the Kings aren't worried about it. But at the same time, if you have a second to kind of think, this was a...
You need to be respectful. You do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's part of the reason I like this rivalry so much is it gets kind of sticky between the fans.
Yeah,
But you had Steph doing the light the beam thing last year, so you had Keon in the defensive player of the game photo doing the night-night. Like, that's great. That's fantastic. That's good. Like, honest sports trash talk. That's not getting personal. That's not getting weird. A couple of the guys behind me last night got really, really weird talking about Steph Curry and like his relationship and his family. It was just weird. But
like media members or
No. A couple fans. It's okay. Like that's weird. But if you're doing night to people and like that's fun.
Yes.
That is sports, dude. That's what we're here for.
I totally agree.
And that's why I love this, you know, the Draymond Sabonis thing, notwithstanding, because that was gross. But I think there's a lot of mutual respect between the coaches, the players, and that to me is why it's fun.
Yes.
I think you saw it last night.
No, I totally agree. And you know, like watching a dynasty, and like I had a front row seat for so much of it. You know, I had to go cover playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in the locker room when they lost one. I was there when they won one. I was in Toronto when things went south and mm-hmm. Kevin Durant popped his Achilles. Like to be around them, man, like watching something spectacular and something that is honestly like one of the greatest basketball teams that we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was a joy. Like, and if this is it for them, like I feel bad for their fans because you know that the death of something like that is really, really hard to come to grips with. And we're already seeing how they're trying to cling to it for the last 2 seasons. But this is the like lifespan of sports. This is what happens.
That's the thing is you don't have to feel bad. you definitely don't. I don't want as a Warriors fan, I don't expect somebody to feel bad for me.
No.
They have just had this run but I get you know what you're saying of people trying to cling to it, but that was the thing with this Warriors stuff is the 2022 title is the outlier.
Yeah.
That was the weird one. because the Warriors lost the finals in 19. They went 16 and how many games was it? They lost 50 games, 50 or 51 games.
Yeah, they were
in the following
good.
Year, in the pandemic year.
Yeah.
And then they lost the two play-in games to the Lakers
yep.
and the Grizzlies in the following year. So it was that 2021. Then 21-22, they just win the title.
Yeah, just like, hey, we're back.
Just that's going to go down as one of the most random NBA championships of all time.
I think it will. You know, again, they were 15-50 in 19-20. I don't even know, like, that. It was 65 games? Like,
that was the pandemic year.
Pandemic year. 15-50.
They were not invited to the bubble at 15-50.
No, followed by a 39-33 in the 72-game season.
Mm-hmm.
And then boom, they win the championship again. And you're like...
So that title was the okay, grand closing. The reality is, the Kings last night, I believe, put that final nail, like, okay, this is done.
It is done.
But it's realistically, it's kind of been done.
Oh, I agree. I agree. Like, but nobody had put the nail in it.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, game 7 last year was the way to end it. And the Kings weren't mm-hmm. able to do it. And yeah. Steph Curry showed up once again and told you why he is one of the greatest players of all mm-hmm. time. Then we get to the next this year, and mm-hmm. it does feel like this is sort of the final moment.
Well, and you can talk yourself into, after last year, if you're the Warriors, going, oh, okay, well, hey, Klay just had a bad series against the Lakers, and if we revamp this roster a little bit and bring in some youth, and Jonathan Kuminga develops, and hey, this will be great. And you can kind of talk yourself into it if you're the Warriors. But now after this year, and this is why it feels so final after this one, is because there's no talking yourself into this anymore.
I don't know, because I heard Steve Kerr afterwards say, oh, we love Klay.
We desperately need
Klay. And it's like, you know what, man? Like, somebody needs to stop enabling you, because you don't need Klay. The reason why you had no chance in the game last night is because when Moses Moody came in and busted up the Kings, mm-hmm. you went back to Klay Thompson. And when he came in again and busted up the Kings, you went back to Klay Thompson. The dude scored 16 points in 15 minutes. And you keep going back to the guy who went 0-10. Mm-hmm. Somebody needs to take Klay away from you so you can't do that, and you can let a young guy develop.
So that's where that's kind of the thing. And you know, we can leave this conversation for our buddies in San Francisco, but that's where I actually don't disagree with him, because Klay still does carry some weight with defenses.
Of course.
But it needs to be a dramatically different role than the one he has. You need Klay. I don't disagree. But A, you don't need him at 25 or 30 million a year or something insane like that.
No. Nope.
And two, you don't need him playing that many minutes in a game where he clearly didn't have it.
No.
It's not like he's this great defender where, okay, when he used to have a bad game offensively, hey, you know what? You're getting a lockdown defender on the other end.
Yeah.
Like, nah, man, he's a non-factor defensively. And if he's not hitting his shots, and he shouldn't be playing. You should be treating him like you treated Trayce Jackson-Davis last night.
Yeah.
Trayce Jackson-Davis has been really good for the Warriors. He was bad last night.
They went away from him, played 11 minutes.
Yeah.
Brandon Podziemski was not all that impactful.
Nope.
He was a good rebounder.
They both looked like rookies.
But they did. They looked like mm-hmm. rookies. Again, Looney plays 9 minutes. They went away. It wasn't working. They went away from him. But that's not what they did with Klay. And not only that, but the guy who was sitting there. And it's also Wiggins. Like, Wiggins plays 25 minutes. Super non-factor.
Yep.
Kuminga should have been playing. Like, if you're the two timeline thing, really, really, it just stuck out as like, oh, this isn't working at all.
Yeah.
And like, again, I feel bad because for Warriors fans, because I think they have to watch like what happens after.
Mm-hmm.
And then how quickly can you come back? But like, while clinging to the fact that Steph is still going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And even, you want him to, like, you're just wasting him. It's like, yeah, that's why players go to play for other teams late in their careers.
Right. But even Steph, like, is he still excellent? Yeah, but he's not prime Steph anymore.
No.
Like, it's still very good, but it's definitely a little worse. Draymond Green, still a fine player, but definitely worse.
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of decisions they have to make, and they don't have, this is the issue for them. They don't have a lot of avenues. It's not like they can go out and sign a max player. So, whether the big three is done for them or not, we'll see. But whatever iteration of them was winning championships as the three of the four best players on the team,
yeah,
that's done. and it's been that way. But last night, with the way the Kings dominated that game, put a microscope or put a spotlight on it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll continue talking about this Kings win. We will continue talking about the Zion Williamson injury. He is out for Friday's game. What does that mean for the Kings? And
we got $500
to give away. $500 to give away. Oh, boy.
That's right. And
Jonte Porter's banned for life.
Banned for life.
For life.
Forever.
There goes Charlie. And there we go. We'll be back in a second on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.